More than a decade ago, Maine voters gave the green light to slot machine gambling in the state. In making their case to voters, supporters vowed that some of the revenues would prop up the state's ailing harness racing industry. But recent data show that since then, more than $100 million in slot machine proceeds have gone to the industry in Maine, and it's still struggling. Fred Bever has our story.
Back in 2003, lawyer, horse farmer, and sometime racehorse driver William Childs spent some time in Augusta trying to convince the legislature to approve slot machines.
Would revitalize harness racing. We pretty much race for the same purses now that my grandfather raced for in 1970, and of course the costs haven't remained the same.
At the time, Childs and others viewed slots as a way to revive the beleaguered harness racing industry, keep pastures from getting paved over with parking lots, blacksmiths busy shoeing horses, breeders buying feed and trucks. Statewide voters eventually bought in, and the referendum they passed required slots to be linked with commercial tracks in Scarborough and Bangor. Since then, slot revenues have boosted purses, helped the state's 26 agricultural fairs, and made direct payments to Bangor Raceway and Scarborough Downs, no strings attached. Horses are still trotting at Bangor Raceway, a few hundred yards from Hollywood Slots, which became the state's first legal gambling venue in 2006. But Scarborough voters refused to authorize slots at their track, and horsemen say that was a big setback. Still, state records show that more than $100 million have been sluiced from gamblers' pockets to Maine's harness racing industry and ag fairs. But has that done the trick? To try to find out, I recently visited William Childs' horse farm, a 30-acre bit of rural bliss in Westbrook. Race Me Stables, it's called, and it is an active place where horses are trained and boarded, lessons are given, and equestrians can practice their paces. Childs is preparing one of his racing pacer horses for a run around a half-mile training track.
We're still here. Without the referendum, without the Racino and Bangor, Bangor would not have survived. Scarborough Downs, I don't think, would have survived. The fairs would have been severely impacted. The industry would have folded up.
Childs says the purse supplements have won him enough money to help keep the stable's doors open at a time when prices for hay and grain, for veterinarians and taxes, they all keep going up.
Without it, this would be house lots. It still may be house lots.
The industry did see a bump after the 2003 referendum, with more owners, racehorses, and breeding horses coming on the scene. But the longer-term trend is in the other direction. Between 2007 and 2015, for instance, the number of Maine-registered harness racing stallions that were available for breeding declined by more than half, from 73 down to 30. The number of foals has declined, just 83 last year. It's a similar story for mares registered in Maine, and the numbers are lower than before the referendum passed.
We still have people that want to buy horses. Our goal right now is to find mares, get people to breed mares, and we need horses.
Diane Perkins, president of the Maine Standardbred Breeders and Owners Association, says it's important to understand that the numbers were affected by the closure of two of the largest breeding outfits for personal reasons. There's also black eyes that the industry gets when horse doping cases come to light, a bad trend Perkins says has been rising. And then she says there's something else.
Okay, I'm going to say there's a little bit of lack of interest, okay?
There is an issue with horse supply right now.
Mike Sweeney is the on-track odds maker and spokesman at Scarborough Downs, which this summer has already canceled six race days after failing to secure commitments for some 400 horses needed to fill out planned race schedules. Sweeney says the rejection of a casino at Scarborough really hobbled the industry's efforts to revitalize itself. And even at Bangor, he says, the decision to locate the new gambling hall several hundred yards away from the track bypassed an opportunity to get a new generation of gamblers with their many online gaming opportunities interested in racing. In some other states where tracks have been located right next to casinos, the tracks have flourished, he says.
That's never happened here in the state of Maine, and I think that's one of the major reasons why the harness racing industry is in a state of decline right now.
Scarborough and Bangor don't keep attendance records, but here's another indicator of where things are headed. Since 2006, the amount of money bet each year on races in Maine has fallen by more than half, from $68 million to $33 million last year. Representative Louis Lucchini, an Ellsworth Democrat, co-chairs the Joint Committee on Legal and Veterans Affairs. His committee has oversight of Maine's gambling sector. He sees the industry's benefits to the state, but he points out that there are more pleasure horse owners than race horse owners in the state. They also benefit the economy, he says.
And we don't give them any money from the casino. So it's an argument that makes sense. They do have a big impact with agricultural, with the veterinarians, farming. But, you know, if you're giving $100 million to something, you really have to make sure that it works.
If Lucchini is reelected, you can bet he'll be taking a close look at slot machine funds in the next legislative session. Scarborough, meanwhile, will be asking for permission to reduce the number of race days it holds while holding on to the million-plus-dollar annual stipend it gets from the slots. And members of the harness racing industry? Look for them to find ways to breathe new life into a pastime they hope still has a future in Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.